This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Human Animal Connection podcast. So happy you're with us today because I have a very dear friend with me, Judy Ramsey. She is a shamanic teacher, a professional animal communicator, and an interspecies counselor with over 40 years of experience in counseling, teaching, and mentorship. She is also a certified animal chaplain who has served animals and their people for nearly 18 years, providing animal communication, interspecies counseling, and shamanic healing for both humans and non-humans. Well, hello, Judy. Good to have you here.
Hi, Jeannie. So glad to be here.
And today we're talking about animal soul retrieval. So before we go diving into that really fascinating subject, do you believe, I'm sure you do, but I'm just going to ask, do you believe that animals have souls?
I do. And anybody who's ever lived with an animal knows that they have souls. There is a part of us, even as humans, that is our essence, that is that part that shines through, you know. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we'd be just a container. Just, yeah. The body is simply a container. And it's that part of us that has that spark of life that we can share with other people. That's and beautiful. Is connected to the divine, something greater than ourselves, mm-hmm. as well as to the collective.
Yes. Well, that is so wonderful. We're going to talk about the souls of animals, what happens when they get not disconnected in the sense of a permanent disconnection, but separated in terms of their experience from their soul and how that can affect their behavior and what we can do about it. So would you just tell folks who are not familiar with shamanism what you mean by that as it pertains to this work?
Yeah, shamanism is a way of life as well as a spiritual practice. I am a shamanic practitioner. In order to be a shaman, your village has to kind of elect you that. Mm-hmm. And because I don't have a specific village that I work from, I am a shamanic practitioner. And in shamanism, everything has a spirit and is honored. The animals, the trees, plants, stones, elements, everything's got a spirit. Mm-hmm. When I do my own podcasts, I even thank the techno elementals for giving me the possibility of doing that online. Humans are part of the web of life within shamanism. They're not from the outside looking in. So everything happens from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And compassionate teachers, spirits and power animals reside in the spiritual aspects of our world and act as guides and teachers and protectors. It's a very results-oriented practice. In ancient times, the practitioner of the village would be responsible for the fertility of the animals, for having rain, for healing individuals, for being a counselor and a wise person in that village. And it's thousands and thousands of years old, this practice. All of us came from cultures that had shamanic practices in their beginnings, mm-hmm. whether it's Celtic for the British Isles or myself, I'm Chinese and Scottish. Oh. So the Chinese culture certainly had magic in it. Mm-hmm. And the shamanic healing aspect of it addresses the spiritual aspects of healing. Mm-hmm. Working with helping compassionate spirit guides. And in shamanism, there's only three reasons for illness. Mm-hmm. Loss of power, soul loss, and negative intrusions. And these are negative thought forms. We give most of those to ourselves, I think.
Yes, we are so awful to ourselves.
Yeah. And the goal of shamanic healing is balance. Mm-hmm. But the worst of these is really soul loss.
Yes. Well, I know I've spent thousands of hours volunteering in shelters, and it doesn't happen often, but occasionally, you know, and I do the healing work of various kinds, the trust technique, Reiki, different things. Occasionally, I will see an animal, and they are like just flat as a pancake. They don't want to treat. They don't want to engage. They have given up all hope. And the feeling that I have is that they are separated from their soul. And again, I don't mean that they're literally separated. I just mean that they can't feel the connection. It's like their pilot light is out. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that's a really good analogy, Jeannie.
Yeah.
When we, let me give the example of being in a car accident. Mm-hmm. If we're in a serious car accident, our bodies go into shock. Mm-hmm. That is an indication that a part of our spirit leaves so that the rest of us can survive the ordeal. Mm-hmm. If you were raised in an abusive household, where there was almost constant trauma every day, a part of you would have been set aside so that the rest of you could survive. It's a survival mechanism. Mm-hmm. And it's not a bad thing at the moment that it happens, because it means that the animal, the person, is going to survive. Mm-hmm. But eventually, we're going to need those parts of us. It just means that qualities such as courage and curiosity, trust, joy, or even sweetness, mm-hmm. are most commonly dissociated from the animal's spirit.
Yes.
And a shamanic practitioner can retrieve that soul essence and return it to the animal or person through a process called journeying. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of an active meditation. Mm-hmm. It is a trance state. And that's how I work with the spirit guides and teachers who do the actual healing.
Mm-hmm. And have you done this soul retrieval work with animals?
I have.
Can you tell us maybe a story about an animal that you were working with and what you noticed and how you worked with them and what changed?
Yeah, I sure can. I can tell you, I'd like to give you an idea that there's not just one type of soul loss.
Okay.
There's kind of three different types. The soul can leave on its own, mm-hmm. like during an accident or traumatic event, like, you know, the floods and the fires and that kind of thing. Lots of animals have had soul loss with those. Mm-hmm. And then the soul can be taken, and that happens in puppy farms, in laboratories, in abusive households. Mm-hmm. And the soul can also be given away. Mm. So I'd like to give you some examples of each one.
That would be wonderful.
And the signs of soul loss, particularly in animals, include either extremely aggressive or extremely passive behavior, as you mentioned mm-hmm. before. There could be snapping or mm-hmm. constant barking with no stopping at all, cowering or excessive sleeping. They might flinch or avoid touch in a particular area of their body. They might have separation anxiety almost constantly, or fear of loud noises. There's sometimes aggressive food behavior, maybe running off all the time, escaping, or trembling all the time, or a constant licking, so much so that the skin is almost taken off. And their cognitive processes are disabled too. And this is true in humans as well. When mm-hmm. when something traumatic is happening or reminds the animal of an incident that gave them trauma, what they see is actually not real. It's not what they see. They don't mm-hmm. see their loving, kind person, and they don't see their companion animals. What they see is their original perpetrator. Mm. And they see that situation happening again, and they relive it. Mm. And it is the prolonged fear that they experience destroys a sense of well-being and safety and balance, which is the foundation for a healthy immune system. So the chronic illness may appear for those animals with PTSD as the energy of the animals put off balance. And the main focus of a shamanic healing is to restore balance. Mm-hmm. But an example of the soul essence leaving. It could be for PTSD, it could be abuse from the original situation, it could be a bad experience in a rescue shelter or a sudden life change. There was once a large dog, his name was Buddy, who was having chronic seizures, and he had had chronic seizures from the age of about 2 that got progressively worse with age. And I met him when he was about 4 and worked with him for about 4 years. He was a really large dog. And some of these became grand mal seizures. Buddy became very fearful and anxious, you can imagine, because yes. He didn't have control of his body during these seizures. And it created an internal environment conducive to additional seizures, even with medication. The shamanic journeying revealed some strategies that his person could use to help him in his process when the seizures did occur. And it helped to identify parts of the brain that were involved. Mm-hmm. His journey involved a rebirth with his mother, which is where the original trauma happened, was a difficult birth. Mm-hmm. There was a type of dismemberment, and in shamanic terms, dismemberment is a good thing. Mm-hmm. It usually means that it's a dismemberment of reactive patterns that a person or an animal might have. And parts of his soul were restored. And overall, while it didn't get rid of his seizures, his endurance of them was much better. Mm-hmm. He was much calmer. The seizures were less intense after the journey. And I was also able to give them advice and work with their veterinarian in terms of some of the things that Buddy showed me in the journey.
Mm. Great. So he was actually communicating with you, since you're an animal communicator, and he could give you information about how to help him in his healing journey.
Yes, he did.
Wow. Fantastic. How do we know if our animals are suffering? How can we tell?
Because there's some. That's a really good question, because some of them are very, very stoic.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, if there is a soul piece missing, the behavior will not be the usual. It won't be the normal behavior of that breed or of that type of animal. So if you get let's just use an extreme case, a very calm turtle
mm-hmm.
that's had some kind of trauma, what you might find is they're frenetic, that they expend energy constantly, which wouldn't be normal for that kind of reptile.
Right.
Or you get a lively little bird,
mm-hmm.
like a parakeet or something, who sleeps all the time, who picks at his feathers until he bleeds.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Who squawks constantly.
Mm-hmm.
What we find is that wild animals in captivity are an example of a soul being taken.
Yes.
Though they're just experiencing soul loss through loss of the appropriate environment for them to flourish in.
Mm-hmm.
Animals born or working in laboratory facilities
right.
are caged most of the time, and you find them pacing back and forth and back and forth
mm-hmm.
In a kind of neurotic way.
Right.
If your own pet is experiencing soul loss, I have seen soul loss through just having a companion animal shouted at. That
wow.
when people shout at a puppy, they don't realize the energetic impact that that makes, and it creates fear in that.
Wow.
Another is fireworks.
Right, yes.
You know?
Yes.
And another is actually moving to a different home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They get very disoriented, and they have a lot of grief for their old home.
Mm.
And that is a type of soul loss as well.
Wow.
I had a horse client. This horse was sent to a trainer to be further trained for advanced competition. And when the horse got back, he was very skitterish and anxious. And this was a very laid-back horse.
Mm-hmm.
When I journeyed on behalf of the horse, I found out that the horse had had a physical accident. He had somersaulted out of a trailer.
Wow.
And hurt his back. Mm. And because of that pain, he was reacting when he was asked to do turns,
mm-hmm.
when he was asked to do certain things in the training.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of his trainer actually tuning into him and listening to this horse and seeing the signs, he just yelled at the horse. He disciplined the horse and he worked him harder.
Oh.
And so none of this was reported to the person who owned the horse.
Oh.
So when the horse came home, this was a beloved companion animal.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to go through quite a lot to get rid of, you know, that abuse.
Yes.
And I did his journey. He did like a 180-degree turn in his behavior once the journey was done and his soul was retrieved for him.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, we're going to take a short little break. We'll be right back in just a moment with Judy Ramsey.
Hey friends, if you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human Animal Connection. I'm Jeannie Joseph speaking with Judy Ramsey today, and we're talking about how we can help animals who've lost parts of their soul. So I know you were working with a little doggy named Ben, one of your clients, and the matriarch in the family was in the process of dying or had already died? What was this?
Was in the process of dying and then ultimately left her body. She was a little chihuahua that was very elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And had raised Ben from the time he was a very small puppy.
Mm.
She was his mother's surrogate when he came home. And he was absolutely distraught. He just would not recover. And his people are very close to their animal companions. They really consider that everybody is equal in the family. And they became worried after a couple of months when he wasn't going to snap out of it. He was just moping. He was very, very depressed.
Mm.
He didn't feel like playing. He was young at the time, maybe only a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a communication, as I often do before shamanic healing, just to determine if the animal actually needs the deeper connection. And Ben was able to show me that he just didn't feel himself. What had happened was that he had given away part of his spirit to Tallulah, was her name.
Oh.
To Tallulah, because he wanted her not to be lonely when she crossed over.
Oh.
And animals will frequently do this. We do this as humans too. We send a part of our spirit, even unconsciously, with a beloved one who has died. We send it with our animals, we send it with other people. And that's one of the ways also that an animal can give their spirit away.
Wow. A loving gesture. They're wanting to help another.
It really is. Yeah.
Yeah. But then, of course, they don't know how to get it back.
No. Normally, it will return on its own.
Oh, okay.
Within a certain period of time.
Uh-huh.
But if it doesn't, then that means a lot of trouble. It means chronic depression and it becomes complicated grief at that point in time. And animals can have complicated grief as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have one little Chihuahua, and I can't say enough about this breed of dog in terms of how loyal they are to people.
Mm-hmm.
They do amazing things for people.
Oh, yeah.
And I have one little Chihuahua. He is 10 himself. Mm-hmm. He has seen no less than 6 people through their end of life.
Wow. Yeah.
He is allowed to be in their hospice.
Mm-hmm.
And he has learned how to help people cross over.
Wow. That's fabulous.
It's the most amazing thing. And he gives them parts of his spirit. He's just an amazing little dog.
Wow. Yeah, I have a little Chihuahua who's a therapy dog, and she's been present for people and dogs passing.
How emotionally intelligent they are.
Yes, they don't get the credit, but they are something else. Yes,
that's tiny beautiful. Dogs with huge hearts.
Yes, yes. Well, I know it's really, you really talk about how the importance of holistic care and working with people who understand the relationship, because if you don't really pay attention to your animal's nature and their essence and their personality, you may not notice when there's a change. You know,
that's
exactly
right.
Yeah.
And it's important, so critical to spend time with your beloved animal companions so that you know what is normal and what is not.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit different case for rescue animals because you have no idea of what their history was before they came to you.
Right.
And I can't tell you how many people call me for communication saying, you know, I wanted this snuggly cat and it's spent a month underneath the bed. It won't even come to me.
Yep.
And I can't snuggle with it. It's not going to fit. It's not going to be a good match, you know. And so the first thing that I want to promote is Jeannie's book.
Oh, thank you.
the Wholesome Canine Cuisine, mm-hmm, book that I just love, because the back parts of that book tell you exercises and games and time you can spend with your animal that's really fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
So get her book. If you,
thank you.
Don't have it yet, get it and read it.
Yes, and there's also my other book, The Human-Animal Connection, which really goes through all of these principles that we're talking about, including how to restore the spiritual connection with an animal. Yes. So, yeah, it's, thank you for mentioning them. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I also want to promote communication, animal communication. Mm-hmm. Both Jeannie and I do animal communication at a very deep level. We're very experienced at it. And I also have a cadre of people that I have trained in communication and in interspecies counseling to help people understand their animal's point of view.
Yes.
And the animals frequently have the best solutions for a problem.
Yes. So
asking for their perspectives is really, really important. I also work with a number of holistic veterinarians who refer people to me, not only for the chaplaincy work, but also when they've run out of options, they have me talk to the animal, because the animal can frequently reveal additional paths that a veterinarian can take, either holistically or with traditional veterinary medicine, mm-hmm, to help the animal.
Yes, yes. I have one friend, she's an animal communicator in Switzerland, and mm-hmm, she has a rabbit that will, you know, clients will say, can you send your rabbit to the vet visit and, you know, watch over? And the rabbit has given her information, which she then gives the client, who then gives it to the vet. Because nobody's going to, the veterinarian, oh, the rabbit said.
Yes, exactly. I always tell people, don't tell them your animal communicator said this.
Right.
Except to the vets who are referring to me.
Yes.
But I let them know, because I know animal anatomy very well.
Mm.
The animal doesn't know the names of their own organs or bones, but I do.
Right. Yes.
And so I can give them a report that says, please rule out,
mm-hmm,
you know, kidney issues. Please rule out a mass against the gallbladder or something like that. You know,
mm-hmm,
I can ask them to just rule it out. And that's an intelligent question to ask any veterinarian.
Right.
And then Wonderful. There is a website that both Jeannie and I really like, is holisticactions.com. That is run by Dr. Jeff Feynman and 13 other holistic veterinarians. Mm-hmm. If you have a free membership, there is this marvelous video on how to raise your animal holistically. And if you have a paid membership, there is a webinar with a particular holistic theme every single month that you can tune into. I think I, just for an example, I spent the month of March with doggy digestion.
Ah.
Or indigestion, as the case may be.
Yes, yes.
But there are guest holistic veterinary and guest speakers that have the most amazing and practical information.
Yes.
And that's available to you. So
wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, there's so many great resources out there. And I think, what can people do? Let's say they begin to observe a change in an animal. What's their next step if they see this change in behavior? Is there anything they can do? I know, call you, get a session with you. You work with people at a distance. What can they do on their own when they recognize that something's amiss?
Mostly just spending the time so that they know, you know, what is not normal. Mm-hmm. If it's a rescue animal or a new adoption, you don't know what the birth circumstances were for that new adoption. If it's a puppy, you don't know if it's from a puppy mill, if you got it from either a sanctuary or a rescue organization or even a pet store. Mm-hmm. So research where you get your animals from. That's that's one of the first things. And then spending time to know that it's normal.
Yes.
And then I have clients that communicate with their animals once a month or once a quarter or something, just so that they're checking in with their animal.
Yes.
And knowing what's going on from their from the animal's perspective on a regular basis. And just further developing that relationship to be a very spiritual bond. Yeah. And I'm sure you've had this experience too, Jeannie, but after a communication, the animal is so much closer to the human.
Yes.
I mean, they're just not exactly Velcro cat, you know, right. but really wanting more of that kind of intimate attention.
Yes, absolutely.
And Yeah,
they love it when we communicate. You know, they just they feel so honored. And it really all starts with the depth and the quality of the bond. You know, without that, a lot of this just doesn't work as well. You know, it just becomes
and
a pet.
Spending the time.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
putting the time in. And even if it's a half an hour a day, it's time out for you, too. I mean, you've been at the office all day. Or you've been working all day, even if you're working at the house all day, take some time out for yourself and just be in nature with your animals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's really the very best thing that you can do.
Oh,
and you will notice when something is a little off.
Right.
And then a communication can tell you if you need veterinary care or if you need something else like shamanic healing. Or there's also Reiki or acupuncture for animals. Mm-hmm. And there didn't used to be very much out there.
Mm-hmm.
And even communication was thought to be a little weird.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think in the last 20 years, I know I've been doing it that long. Uh-huh. And in the last 20 years, there's been an amazing shift.
Yes.
And how people view those kinds of resources for their animal as well as for themselves.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, people who never would have said, I need to call an animal communicator are now saying, I need to call an animal communicator because I don't understand what's happening. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of which, how can people get a hold of you if they'd like to work with you?
The best way is by email, because I'm checking my email very frequently throughout the day, at judyramsey.net. That is the website. Yeah. And the email is info@judyramsey.net.
Excellent.
And there's a whole section of free resources on there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there is interspecies exercises you can do, as well as classes are listed in both shamanism and animal communication.
Excellent. Well, beautiful. Well, I want to thank you so much. What do you have, just a parting few words that you want to leave our audience with as we close our show today? Sorry. Last words that you'd like to say.
I'll say words from one of my spirit guides, Otter, is that play is the greatest wisdom. May you be very wise.
Wow. Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, Judy Ramsey, thank you so much for being with us and helping us understand that animals have souls and that animals can lose parts of their souls and that we can help them get rebalanced and reconnected. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Jeannie. Thank you.
All right. We'll see you soon. Thanks for being with us with the Human Animal Connection. I'm Jeannie Joseph, and we'll see you very soon, I hope.
Thank you for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection Show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.